And that is a great way to pay tribute to our moms, isn't it? We are so grateful for Mother's Day, a special day when we really do get to say thank you to your moms. And today's going to be a day of expressions of love. There are going to be all kinds of things going on. I'm sure some of you moms are going to get flowers. Some of you are going to get candy. I'm sure all of you are going to get a cookie. There's going to be phone calls and FaceTimes and special gifts and special meals, and you've earned every bit of it. Today is the day when we remember more than anything that there are gifts you receive, but there are also gifts that only you can give, Mom, in your own special way. You're the ones who give the gift of love to your families day in and day out. You're the ones who offer encouragement. Children really believe what their parents say they are. And when you speak out and you tell your children how special they are and how important they are, they believe that with all their hearts. Most of all, you give your children the gift of Christian faith. And that's what we read together about in our scripture a little while ago when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I see that faith in you. It's the same faith I saw in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I see it alive in you. That is the pattern that we're supposed to follow as Christian families. That's what's going on when moms make a difference. And I'm so grateful that this passage is in the scripture because it reminds us of the power of a mother's faith. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this morning. I want you to look at several things that we see in this passage that are really important. The first thing I want you to do is note this. Note the influence of a mother's faith. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I see your faith. I see your faith and it reflects your mom's faith. And I see your mom's faith because it reflects your grandmother's faith. And together I see Jesus at work in your life. And that's the way things are supposed to be, isn't it? Someone has said this, the hand that rocks the cradle changes the world. That's powerful, isn't it? Particularly when you're talking about the context of faith. That mom who from the very beginning is there with her children, teaching them and growing them in their faith, she makes such a difference, changes their lives and changes the world. You know, I'm grateful about my own children for several ways, but one of the things that I'm very grateful about with my kids is they made wise choices when they chose spouses. And Jamie chose Megan, and together they have always been such a joy to me, and particularly because faith has been such a cornerstone of their life together as a couple from the beginning, wherever they were living. And they went to several places for a while. They always found a church, and they always found a Sunday school class, and they always found a way to get active in their church. And these last few years, since they've been in Chattanooga, they've also added JD to the crowd. And with that, I've seen a whole new dimension of my daughter-in-law, Megan, as I've watched how she, from the very beginning, has made a commitment. We're going to raise our son to know and follow Jesus. Got a video the other day. I'm the granddaddy. I get to make you watch it. Watch this with me.
Jesus loves me.
Isn't it great? A year and a half old and he already knows the most important thing in the world. I think that's terrific. Jesus loves me. Now, I could make you watch the video of him already knocking a baseball off of a tee, but that's going too far. But I am so grateful for her because from the beginning, she's teaching him, Jesus loves me. She and Jamie are making sure he's in Sunday school, he's in church, he's growing to know the Lord Jesus. It's an important thing because that's one of the things we're so grateful to you moms for. We saw these children gathered around this morning, and we recognize every one of them represents a mom who's made a commitment. I'm going to bring my children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that's a phrase I usually only use in baby dedication, but it's an everyday word, isn't it? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. That they know Him, and they know what He stands for, and they know what it means to follow Him. And that's such an important thing. And moms, I thank you that you've made a commitment to influence your families for Christ. But how can we influence our children for Christ? Let me suggest a couple of things. I think this, you tell your faith. You tell your faith. You seek to provide the best for your children, educationally, materially, emotionally, personally. But we also want to commit to provide the best spiritually. And one of the great opportunities that all of you have, moms, is at any age, whether we're talking about very small children or whether we're talking about growing children or grown children that are long far away and have their own families, you're still doing the things you need to do to influence them. And part of that is telling your faith. God gives you many opportunities to tell your children about the Lord. Now, some of those are times when you sit down and very deliberately talk to them. But a lot of times, the most important times you tell your children about the Lord are those times that just kind of come up here and there. You answer their questions when they begin to ask about God. You tell them what it means to follow Jesus. You prepare them to give their lives to Him. One of the best ways you can do it is to tell your own story. Let me tell you about when I was saved. Let me tell you about the church I belonged to when I was young. Let me tell you about the things God has done in my life. You don't have to do it in a very formal way. Just along the way, the same way you tell stories about what you did in elementary school and what happened to you in high school, you talk about those spiritual milestones that you followed along the way, and you let them know, Christ has always been a real part of my life. Or you let them know, I didn't know Him until I was an adult, but since then, it's made all the difference in my life. You tell your story. The thing is, you can also talk about what's going on in your life every day. You can talk about what the Lord did, but it's also so great to talk about what the Lord is doing. To let them know your faith is a daily faith. It's a dynamic faith, an active faith. I want to tell you what the Lord did for me today. I want to tell you about the answered prayer. I want to tell you how I saw His hand. I want to tell you God is real and He's moving in my life. Tell your faith. But just as importantly, you show your faith. Our children are influenced when they see us live our Christian faith. In the way they see their parents love one another. The way they experience their mother's love in a special way. When they see you pray or read your Bible and they know when you're praying for them. When they see your Christian life being lived out in 100 ways. Your children are watching, and you show your faith. I read a little thing the other day. I liked it a lot because I think it makes all of the difference in the world. And because it's real in my own experience, and it's real in your experience, because it's true. And this little thing's called When You Thought I Wasn't Watching. Can I read it to you? This is what it says. It says, when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I learned it's a good thing to be kind. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake just for me, and I learned that little things are special things. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer. And I believe there is a God who wants to talk to me. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come to your eyes. And I learned that sometimes things hurt, and when they do, it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you cared. And I wanted to be everything I could be to make you proud. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked. And today I want to say thank you for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Isn't that good? We note the influence of a mother's life, but we also note the heritage of a mother's faith. When we're faithful to the Lord, we establish a chain of faith that God can use to honor not only our children, but generations yet to come. One of the things that's true of a mother's love is that a mother's love goes on and on and on. And when it's invested in children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that faith continues to ripple on and influence lives. This may be your greatest challenge as a mother, to build a heritage of faith. Just yesterday, I was sitting on my back porch doing my Bible study and my reading, and I came across this passage, and I thought, man, that is exactly what the Lord is calling us to do. That's exactly it. It's found in the 78th Psalm. Let me read it to you. What we have heard and learned, that which our ancestors have told us, we will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation about the Lord's praiseworthy acts, about his strength and the amazing things he has done. He established a rule in Jacob. He has set up a law in Israel. He commanded our ancestors to make his deeds known to their descendants, so that the next generation, children yet to be born, might know about them. And they will grow up and tell their descendants about them, and they will place their confidence in God, and they will not forget the works of God, and they will obey his commands. Well, that is a powerful passage, isn't it? That's a powerful passage that says faith is a generational thing. You know, Billy Graham said many years ago that Christianity is never more than one generation away from disappearing from the face of the earth. All one generation has to do is forget to tell the next generation about what God has done in Christ. Isn't it good for us to know that God has called us to share those generations? While it's true that God has no grandchildren, that all he has are children, and that each person must make his or her own commitment to Jesus, it's also true that a faithful mother can be the beginning, and that influence goes on and on and on. As I think about our own family and my own wife, I think about the fact that there were those times as our kids were growing up when you would see them make great strides spiritually. But there are also those times when it looked as though they'd forgotten everything they learned. And I have watched as Judith faithfully continued to pray for them and love them and lift them up and encourage them and challenge them and confront them and help them to continue to remember what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That really is all that it is about. It's about teaching them to know and follow the Lord. Timothy experienced this, a faith that had been seen in one generation, and then the next generation, and in the third generation, not only did he come to know Christ, but the Lord began to use Timothy to touch lives all around him for the sake of Jesus. And here's the thing, that might never have happened unless Lois had been the first one. Unless this faithful grandmother had come to know unless she had come to know the Lord and make a solid commitment to Christ so powerful that she influenced her daughter, and her daughter embraced what it meant to follow Jesus, and it became so powerful that she invested it in her son, and on and on and on. Mothers, when you do your best to live out your commitment to Christ, you're dealing with so many lives besides your own. Listen to these startling facts regarding two of our revolutionary era forefathers. Back in the age of the American Revolution, Max Jukes lived in New York State. He was a noted atheist. He rejected Christ and refused to allow his children to go to church. He said there was nothing they could learn there and nothing could happen. A genealogy study in recent years revealed this about Max Jukes and his family. He had 1,026 descendants at that time. Of that 1,026, 300 had been sent to prison for an average of 13 years. 190 had become public prostitutes. 680 were admitted alcoholics. It's the same time that Max Jukes lived. Jonathan Edwards was his contemporary, also from New York. Loved the Lord, actively served him, preached his word, and saw that his children were in church every Sunday. At the same time, a genealogy was done of Jonathan Edwards. He had 929 descendants at the time. Of those, 430 had become ministers of the gospel. 86 had served as university presidents. 75 had authored books. 5 were elected to the United States Congress. 2 to the Senate. And 1 had served as vice president of the United States. What am I saying? It makes a difference. In those times when it's very challenging, and in those times when you may feel a little discouraged, it makes a difference to keep investing and keep investing and investing yet again. Here's the truth. We will leave footprints, but we choose what kind they will be. We decide if our footprints are going to continue to lead toward Jesus. But there's a third thing we need to know today, and it's simply this. And a mother's faith must be a received faith. Paul made a point very clear. While we may be recipients of a mother's faith, each of us has to make our own personal commitment to Christ. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. In you. It's your choice. It's your decision. You have to decide. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Each of us must take the heritage of faith that we've been given, that we've seen and we've heard, and we have to make it personal. It doesn't matter if you feel like I'm a Christian once removed. You know what I mean? I'm a Christian once removed. I was carried to church. I know the gospel. I can explain the Bible, but I've never come to that point where I said to Jesus Christ, you come and be my Savior. I trust you. Come into my heart and change me. And there's no greater pleasure any mother who is a believer can have than to see her children come to know Jesus and follow him in faith. I remember one mother who came up to me after a service, the last of her children had made their commitment to Christ, and she said to me, now they're all home. At the time I was a youth minister, I didn't really understand that, but as years went by, I came to understand how important that is. Now they are all home. A mother has a faith. She shares her faith. She shows her faith. She passes on a heritage of faith. But there comes that time when you have to decide for yourself, am I ready to follow Jesus? Am I ready to make my personal commitment to him? And maybe today, that's exactly where you are. It's time for you to make your own personal commitment to Jesus. Oh, I've seen that faith. I saw it in the influencers of my life. I saw it in my grandmother. I saw it in my mother. I saw it in godly people who invested themselves in me. But now it's time for me to take my own turn and give my heart to Jesus. If that's you today, then I can't think of a better Mother's Day gift you could give than to give your life to her Savior that she loves so much. Maybe you're here and today's the day when you need to trust Christ the Savior. Maybe today is the day when you need to come and say, this is the church where I want to plant my life. This is where I want my family to grow. And I'm bringing my membership today. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. And as we sing and as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together and let's sing.